Week 17 of the NFL football season, and we are here to discuss Week 17 on the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. I am Lee, and with me is Tubby. We want to thank everyone for tuning into the live stream, whether you're doing that on Facebook Live, YouTube, or Twitch. And we want to thank all of our regular podcast listeners on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and so many others. If you have any questions or comments for us, you can reach us at our email address, lee.byrd, that's L-E-E dot B-Y-R-D, dot eaglesdare at gmail.com. And yes, we are arrived at week 17. This season has gone by extremely fast. I don't know how we got to week 17 so quickly. Kind of like that whole adage, time flies when you're having fun. And the Eagles have been having a lot of fun until lately. Right now, just a little bit of dark times with all the injury bug that's going on in Philly. But it doesn't stop the schedule. We got to keep moving on. And the name of this episode is We Only Need One. That's it. We just need one win out of the next two games. And we hope that it's this week against New Orleans, who is the opponent coming into the link at 1 o'clock on Sunday. We only need one. And this is our best opportunity to get this this win, get the NFC East wrapped up, get the first round bye wrapped up, and get a lot of our guys some much, much needed rest, because we're banged up everywhere, and it's not great. However, we're facing a Saints team that has some upside defensively, but overall, it's a team that the Eagles, even with about two-thirds strength, should be able to handle. This meme here came right from the Barstool Sports of New Orleans, or of NOLA, and this is their Twitter. And it says, so now the Saints have to play a pissed-off Eagles team in Philly that's not only playing for home field advantage, but making our draft pick they own even better. Cool. That's how they're feeling right now at Barstool NOLA. And it's a great point, is that the Eagles, after what happened with Dallas, they're not happy. They're in a spot where they had a game that was winnable. They've suffered more injuries. And I think that the turnovers and the way they feel about them, the third and 30, everything that went place in that Dallas game, it's got them in that mood. And this is why this week I felt really kind of optimistic about this game. I'm the pessimistic one where I'm like, I don't know. Because I'm always like, like Jalen Hurts said, let's pay our opponents some respect. Let's always realize that you can lose any game out there. But I do believe that no matter what, this Eagles team will come to play on Sunday and do everything in their power to win this game and wrap up this division, because they know how much it means to us to do it right now. What's your thoughts on this game, Tubby?
I mean, we definitely have a lot of things going our way. We're definitely the better team, without question, in my opinion. But, this is still a Saints team that doesn't give up a lot of points. You know, we're still facing one of those teams that, yeah, they have a bad record, but they don't give up a lot of points. So that's a team that doesn't give up a lot of points. They're going to keep you in this type of dogfight, you know, all the time. You just look at their last, five games or so. I mean, even the San Fran game was glaring, 13-0. Tampa Bay, 17-16. You know, all these little stats. So I'm worried about these guys. They have an all-pro in Alvin Kamara, who can just take over any game, anytime he wants. You have a nice young receiver in Chris Olave, who's approaching 1,000 yards. Right, same thing we celebrate about our receivers approaching those milestones. They got guys out there that can play. And, they always have old Cameron Jordan on their defense, leading the way, continue to keep these guys really engaged. And, thanks for bringing that up early. Just looking at them, it's just another team that doesn't give up a lot of points. And you can be in a dogfight like we were with the Bears. The Bears were a bad team, but they weren't really giving up a lot of points. And early on, it was a little bit of a dogfight before we kind of, opened it up on them. But you look at that score with the Bears, 25-20, another close game against a team that doesn't allow a lot of points. So, and I do think if Jalen can play, I changed my mind. I think he should play if he can play, just so we can solidify or try to really win this game now.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. I think
and not go into next week or that last week with a win.
Right, right. I agree with you. You know, looking at their scores, you're right. They keep a lot of games close. Looking at the last five games in particular, you know, they lost to the Buccaneers, but only by one. They lost to the 49ers, but only gave the 49ers 13 points, and that was in on the road in San Francisco. And then, you know, they did beat the Rams. I kind of, one of the things that I think, you know, they're 6-9 right now, and they've got three wins on this page. So they've won three of their last five games, but before then, you know, they're sitting there at 3-8 or 3-7. So they've come this far, but oh, yeah. I look at their whole schedule. It's not been that great. So that's one thing I can kind of hold on to is that, yeah, they've got a good pass defense, but their strength of schedule has been actually one of the weakest in the league when you look at it. But it's important to look at their Saints pass defense. They're second in yards per pass attempt, third in completion percentage, fifth in TD percentage given up, and eighth in yards per catch, and sixth in sack rate. That's pretty good as far as overall defense, no matter who you're playing. That's where things start. And you're right. The one thing where they are weak, if we look at their stats here, their matchup on defense is, while they're considered second in passing in the league at 206 yards per game, they're 23rd in rushing at 132 yards a game. So they do have a weakness, like every team does. And I think with the Eagles' rushing attack, I think it bodes well for them to be able to attack, especially with Minshew in the game, if he does play, to be able to get that thing going. They just got to get those handoffs down so they can get Miles Sanders and Boston Scott some reps and get them working together.
Yeah. You know what I've noticed? That they haven't produced a 100-yard rusher this year, the Saints. Nobody has had. Kamara's had 99. Back in week 6, but they haven't had a single 100-yard rusher for a game.
Right.
What is that one? That's the totals.
Yeah, this is their totals on the season.
184?
And you look at Kamara's only got 717 yards on the season, and we're almost to the end of it. He's by far having his worst statistical year of his entire career, and he's played in 13 games, but he's averaging 3.9 yards a carry and only two touchdowns rushing. He's had two touchdowns receiving. The one that I think that the Eagles really have to worry about, because I think they can stop Kamara in the run. Mark Ingram on this list is out. He's out for the season. So we know Michael Thomas is out. So it's really, for them, about stopping Shaheed, who's a big one, and like you mentioned, Olave, who's really been a phenom for them, almost 1,000 yards this year and three touchdowns receiving. But I think the biggest threat the Eagles have to face is Taysom Hill. Because the Eagles don't seem to be able to cover the quarterback running out of the backfield extremely well, because they try to cover too much and they leave that as a glaring weakness. So when Taysom comes into the game for Dalton to do those, or when he comes in as a receiver and then does a reverse, the Eagles are going to have their head on a swivel to say, all right, this is what we got. We got to stop Hill and focus on when he's in the game. Because to be honest, if you watch the Saints at all, when Taysom Hill comes into a game, he's getting the ball. It's plain and simple. So don't,
most of the time.
Yeah, don't overthink it. Taysom Hill, 90% of the time, he comes into the game, he's getting the ball, or he's passing. He doesn't even pass that much. It's about getting him the ball so he can run it in space. That's why he's not the starting quarterback, is because his passing skills aren't up there, but he's that Weapon X that they kind of like to use. Not to steal that from Brian Dawkins, but that's just where it is. So, yeah, I think that when you look at them overall, they're a dangerous team to be facing at this part of the season, but we are at home, and we are, you know, facing a 6-9 team at home, and our weather conditions, they're not getting to play in their cushy little dome, so they really have to face these guys right here is who they have to face, our front four, who... you got to throw Hassan Reddick in there, even though technically he's a linebacker, but he lines up on the line. But no team in the 102-year history of the NFL has had four different players with 10-plus sacks in a season. So we're talking Hassan Reddick, Brendan Graham, and we've got Javon Hargrave and Josh Sweat. And Brendan Graham only needs one sack in his final two games for the Eagles to become the first team to accomplish that feat. And I think they get it. I think Brandon Graham gets that sack on Sunday, and then they achieve this. So that's what they're going to have to face, is when I start looking at our where our deficiencies are as far as injuries, I still think that we've got more than enough talent to beat this team. The one thing, like we talked about with the Cowboys loss, is the only thing that again, every week I say this, the only thing that frightens me is our defensive coordinator and how he calls the game. Our front five are going to be fine rushing the passer, but it depends on our defensive coverage. Gannon did come out and talk about the mistakes that happened in the Dallas game, and he specifically mentioned, somebody asked him about the third and three. And this is what he had to say, and it sounds good on the surface, but then look a little closer. So this is what Gannon said about the third and 30. It's me. I have to do a better job of coaching what I want out of that call. I'm not going to get into the specifics of the call, but I liked the call. But looking back at it, we have to do a better job of putting our guys in position to make that play and get off the field, because you can't give up a third and 30. That was a play in that game that I felt like was a bit of a tipping point, and we let them convert, and then they scored on that drive. That hurts the ball club. Got to do better a job myself. That's Jonathan Gannon. Here's my problem with that. It's a nice statement. We got to put our guys in position to make the play. First of all, Jonathan Gannon, your defensive front has been doing a hell of a job and making it easy on your defensive backs, but you have not been putting them in a position to make plays. So that is your responsibility, and you haven't done it very well this season at all. And we played good defense because of our defensive front and the athleticism of the entire defensive backfield when they're all healthy. The thing that I don't like about this is that his first thing he says is, I'm not going to get into specifics of the call, but I liked the call. I didn't like the call. You backed everybody off the line of scrimmage, which gave T.Y. Hilton a free run at your DBs to go run right past him. They didn't even try to impede his progress. They only rushed four. I'm surprised they didn't just rush three. So Dak had all the time in the world. The thing is a third and 30 call for a defensive coordinator should be a fairly easy one to make. And if you give up a third and 30 on a pass interference or a holding call, then that's not really on the defensive coordinator. But when you give it up and it's just flat out, you get burned on a third and 30, that's on the defensive coordinator. So that's the one thing I have in this game, and I hate to keep harping on it, but that's my only concern the rest of the way. It really is, because I believe in our guys. I just think that our defensive scheme is trash, and I think that that's gonna get us eliminated if he doesn't start mixing in man. Never said don't do zone. I do say don't do the shell zone. Do a regular standard zone defense and zone blitzes, mm-hmm. and mix in some man, for crying out loud. You're barely playing man, and your team is built to play man. These guys are great man coverage. Maybe not Josiah Scott, but when you've got the full complement out there, and it looks like what I've read is that since C.J. Gardner-Johnson, just so we know, is looks like he's not going to be activated. He probably won't play. We haven't heard yet today. This is, you know, for Thursday's practice, if he's going to be activated or not. And if he is, that's great. But right now we're looking at Reed Blankenship back there. And I don't know why they have Josiah Scott in the slot again. I am mystified why we picked Anthony Harris back up and put him on our practice squad, and we have not activated him yet when we've got Josiah Scott out there struggling and we don't have Anthony Harris playing safety and Reed Blankenship in the slot. I don't know what if Anthony Harris has just lost a step and maybe we just got him there for injuries, mm-hmm. and the practice squad, but it mystifies me that he's not playing at the strong safety position, and that Reed isn't maybe covering that slot in this situation. But I don't know what's going on with the team. I also wonder, again with Jonathan Gannon, why you saw N'Kobe Dean come in for an injured Kazir White, and yet we barely seen him since. And he played outstanding when he was on the field. This is what alarms me about Jonathan Gannon. It's like he doesn't see what's right in front of him. And all I can say is with the coaching situation in Denver and the coach there being fired, Nathaniel Hackett, I'm hoping that they're looking at our boy Gannon, because I would give him, the Eagles should give him Gannon, a 7th-round draft pick, and a case of Schlitz to get rid of the guy if they could do it, because I don't want him around anymore. I'm done after the Dallas game. Anyway, end of rant. How do you feel about, though, the our defensive situation?
You know, the line it's become very glaring at times that the line has been bailing, you know, having the most sacks in the NFL or at least 1 point leading the league in sacks. I think the line has been bailing out the overall defense, you know, because you accumulate that many sacks, you've stopped a lot of plays from happening. And we still have a lot of knockdowns, fumbles, all of that good stuff. So, yeah, man, I just think, man, it's always been a problem. It's been a problem since last year going across the middle. So unless we really change up our scheme, I don't really see how we just magically pull out of this. You know, if we're running, if Dak can throw the ball 24 for 24 in the zone and we still don't fix the zone, you know, what do we fix? You know, I mean, at some point, 24 for 24, are you even paying attention? Or somebody, you don't have an assistant that can print you out some stats and go, hey, Gannon, this is what it's looking like right now against the zone. We're 13 for 13. Oh, now, hey, Jonathan, we're now 18 for 18. Hey, man, this guy's 22 for 20. Like, at some point, do you change it up? So, man, I don't really have a lot of confidence that our defense will change. I think our record makes us confident, you know, that what we're doing is working. And, yeah, man, with N'Kobe Dean, it still remains a mystery. It still remains a mystery as to why this kid isn't getting more reps. Why when we're getting killed across the middle, we don't go to a different set or to man, you know. So, man, I would hate for Olave to just line up in the slot like Lamb did and just pick us apart all day. And they also have Juwan Johnson that's tight end. You know, he's kind of emerged as a big target for Dalton. That's how they won that last game. You know, Johnson caught two touchdowns.
Good point.
The week prior. So we've always struggled with the tight end. And now here's some guy who's all of a sudden a stud now and high on Dalton's list as far as a go-to type of guy. So when we get down that red zone, we got to really look at, you know, Johnson slipping out and just those tight ends that have cost this game or caught touchdowns on us this year, just big passes in general. We really have to worry about that. So those are my concerns. Olave lining up in the slot and killing us like Lamb did. Because why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you look at last week's tape and say, yeah, we're just going to put Olave in the slot. And whoever their nickel corner is, that's the weakness on the defense. If we don't have to go against Bradbury, if we don't have to go against Slay, who else can we go against? Ba, 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 Josiah Scott. So let's put our best guy on Josiah Scott. Let's be smart about this. Not ask Dalton to do a lot of things and walk out of here as a champ, man. You know, winning the game, not as a champ, but, you know, winning the game.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, when Taysom Hill comes in, I mean, we should be able to know, like, look, he's going to get the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And if he does throw it, it's kind of like a Tebow style. Like, it's like rare, like, oh, shit, he just threw it. So I expect maybe single high safety there. Really use our corners that are lockdown corners. That's what I expect to see, man. I would hate to see zone when Taysom is in there because what are you covering? Unless you're trying to keep your corners home in case he does get out there and then Slay or Bradbury can make that tackle. But then it's like, can they make that tackle on Hill? You know? So I feel you, man. We do struggle with the guys just getting out the box on us, getting out of the you know, and just running and just picking up those little yards. You know, Dak even did it. And Dak is not a running quarterback to me, but he still was able to just scamper out here, scamper out there. You know, Hill, who's now out for the season, but he was able to just kind of do it and just pissed me off, man. So even, you know, Pickett at some times was able to kind of skirt out on us. Every quarterback we've kind of faced that's even has any mobility will find a way on a third down. When we are in man, I guess, coincidentally, because our guys have been run down the field. So we just got to figure out how to really mix it in, man. And hopefully look at the tape from last week and they see Olave lining up in that slot. There has to be an indicator that that's where the offense wants to go. How can Lamb line up in the slot and get 9 catches? And it was 9 easy catches, in my opinion. These weren't tough catches from Lamb. These were easy catches.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, we looked like a sieve in that first half with Lamb. And, you know, once again, making good quarterbacks look great and bad quarterbacks look good. Yep. You know, are we going to go in here? And Dalton is not at the high point of his career on Sunday. And that's what I'm afraid of.
Right. Yeah, and so that is it's you like you said, the tight end thing is what scares me. Anyone over the middle when we are, because our linebackers are not taught to cover well. I think what Gannon is just won't do, and it reminds me so much of Schwartz. And I said it last year. He's like Schwartz 2.0. He has these really complex schemes for zone coverage that confuses his own defense, just like Schwartz did, because he wants to be this genius, which is just, it's just killing the team as a whole. And he needs to simplify things, especially when you've got somebody like Scott out there who's going to get confused in the coverage. So you have to take it back. Like, just like when Malcolm Jenkins went to Schwartz and said, look, let's just have our assignment and keep it simple. Keep it simple, but let these guys make plays. And if you want to do something complex, mix up your blitzes on the line, do things to give them a disguised look. Don't let it be the other way around. Don't make it where they're doing things to disguise from you and you're falling into a trap. And that's what happened with the Eagles. So defensively is where I'm worried. I do think, though, that capable-wise, from the front five and our linebackers will be able to stop the run, be able to stop Hill, and be able to force enough negative plays to be able to affect the Saints enough to where they can get some stops and get the ball back. As far as the offensive side of the ball, we all know what happened there, but a crazy development has come out of the offensive side. We know Lane Johnson went down with a torn abductor muscle that needs to be surgically repaired. But man, this guy is a monster. I don't know. He's doing it because, number one, he loves his team. Number two, he believes that they can win a Super Bowl. That's the only way that somebody does something like this. But Lane has said he's going to rehab for the next few weeks. He's not going to be able to play the rest of the regular season, and he will play in the playoffs and get the surgery after the season is over, which is just unbelievable. So another reason why we got to win this week to get that bye week is to give Johnson more chance to rest. He is going to be in so much pain, but yet he's going to be sacrificing himself for the team, and that's just amazing. But what that means is, and Sirianni spoke about it, he hasn't confirmed it, but he said something I said the other day, where it means that Jordan Mailata will more likely move to right tackle because he's more able to play both sides of all of their tackles, and Andre Dillard is going to slot in at the left tackle rather than Driscoll playing that right tackle position, which is, I think, the smart move. Then you keep Seumalo and Kelsey and Dickerson in the middle spots, and we still have a relatively good offensive line. Offensively, we're doing okay. If you look at the whole injury report from Wednesday, of course, Jalen Hurts' right shoulder did not practice, then the walkthrough, which means it's very unlikely that he's going to play. It could happen. We won't know until they tell us probably on Saturday whether he's going to play or not, just like the Cowboys right. game. Sanders, though, has a knee issue. But I think they're just keeping him out just for rest. There's no indication that he's going to miss a Sunday's game. A.J. Brown, again, limited practice with a knee issue. Again, I think that's just trying to give him some rest to make sure they're ready. And then Jordan Davis, we talked about him on Tuesday, concussion in the concussion protocol. And he had limited practice, but all signs point to him being able to go on Sunday, which would be huge. But if you look at the offense, I mean, there's not, other than Jalen right now, we're pretty good, you know, and Lane Johnson, of course. But we have enough depth at the offensive line to be able to have the offense be able to move the ball. So I feel really good, even though we're going to be moving pieces around and Jalen's not back there. If Minshew has to go, after what we saw him do in Dallas, I think that he's determined to get a win and a big win so that he has somewhere to go next season. It might be Denver. Who knows where Minshew will go? But he may go right to Denver with Jonathan Gannon, and that's fine with me. But one thing I want to see is Minshew be able to win. I mean, I don't care. But I do want to see Minshew be able to win this game if he does start. Right now, there's so many unknowns. This is, you know, midweek, and we're just waiting to find out. But if it had to start today, even with Minshew back there, I think that they got a shot at winning this on the offensive side of the ball. What do you think?
Yeah, man, I think, we lost an All-Pro, you know, it's nothing to sneeze at, you know. I think Lane Johnson was on the road to be first-team All-Pro right tackle this year, 100%. I don't see why not. considering he hasn't given up a sack, yada, yada, yada. I mean, we just lost a first-team All-Pro. And Jalen is going to finish on one of those teams, first through third, All-Pro teams as well, too. So we have an All-Pro quarterback out, potential MVP. We have an All-Pro right tackle out. But the key thing you mentioned is our depth. You know, the fact that we can move Mailata to the right side. We can shuffle it around and still feel really good because our interior is still there. That's why my confidence comes from the fact that we still have Kelce, we still have Dickerson, and we still have Seumalo. So it's like, all right, we still have your core there. We just have to protect the outside. And there's things you can do with that. You can use a running back to help. You can use a tight end to help. You know, it's like, it's worse if you lost like a guard or if you lost our center. Like, oh my goodness. You know, that would bring me more concern. So, yeah, man, I expect us to go out there business as usual, man. We have a better team. We have better receivers. We have, you know, they have the better running back, but ours is playing better. And that's the only thing that matters is what form are you in? Ours is in a better form. Sanders is in a better form. But we know Kamara can just as well take over an entire game, which has been our weakness this year, which we fixed. So I can't keep calling it a weakness because we've shut down a lot of backs. But here's another top running back coming into Philly that we have to face again. I mean, we faced them all, but Christian McCaffrey seems like this year. Seems like we faced all the best guys in the league this year, and we're still sitting there at 13-2, man. So, now, man, I think the offense should be able to play well enough, man. Dallas Goedert's still there. We have him back. I think we're looking good, man. I think we're looking good. We still should be able to run the ball between the tackles. We still should be able to throw those slants to AJ just like last game. You know, just got to get the ball down a little bit. You know, some of them was, you know, not a lot of acrobatic catches because now you guys are taking some shots. Like Goddard's taking a shot jumping. Smith's taking a shot jumping. So only thing is, you know, keep our guys on their feet. Right. Yeah, so we can remain healthy, man. And, yeah, man, just make the good decisions. And I think we'll be fine. You know, Minshew hasn't had a lot of reps this year, so you're going to have those mistakes. Like, even though you had the two picks in the Dallas game, but old buddy dropped a pick right to him from Dallas, number 42, like one of their safeties was right to him. I don't know how he dropped it, but that was just a random pick, you know, just right there that could have even offset the game too. So we had to be careful with just him getting overconfidence. Just keep it simple. He didn't take a sack in that game. That's good, you know, so we can bring that over into this game as well too. And think we just handle a few handoffs, man, right? And I think we'll be fine, man. I fully expect us to beat the Saints. 100%.
I think with this opportunity, they can't afford not to. I watched some of the Saints, at Cleveland, and they didn't look particularly impressive. Cleveland just looked bad. So I kind of looked at it and went, gosh, this is an opportunity. They can't pass it up because we don't want to be trying to play around on the last day of the regular season to try to win the NFC East. You know, like say the Cowboys have the Titans on Thursday Night Football. I am going to say this right now is I'm not watching that game. I'm going to watch bowl games instead. I refuse to watch any Cowboy game. I don't have to. And I know that this affects the Eagles, but I'll just wait because I know what's going to happen. I know the Titans. The Titans, they're horrible right now. They got their backup quarterback starting. They only have Derrick Henry. The Cowboys are going to tee off on those guys, regardless of their limitations in the defensive backfield right now. And I'm just going to be upset. Why put myself through that? Hoping that the Titans can actually, even at home in Tennessee, could muster up a win. It ain't going to happen. Dallas is 11-point favorites. Even if they don't cover, they're going to win fairly comfortably, in my opinion. So I will find out on Friday whether they won or not, because I'm going to stay away from that game. It comes down to not what Dallas does, but what the Eagles do. So we know Dallas is probably going to win Thursday night. If the Eagles don't take care of business on Sunday, then it's setting up for Dallas to face on the road at Washington against Carson Wentz, who's not going to do us any favors. And then it comes down to the Eagles at home against the Giants. We don't want to be there. The Giants don't really have a lot to play for other than maybe some playoff positioning. But even depending on what happens this week, the Giants may be resting their starters next week. We don't know. But it doesn't matter. We can't count on that, you know, and it's frustrating. So we will see what happens. I think that the Eagles know this. I know, Barstool Nola said, they're pissed off. They came off a bad loss. and they've got a lot of injuries, but they still got tons of talent. So I think that this is what they have to do. Unfortunately, a lot of the mainstream sports media doesn't seem to realize that Eagles have a lot of talent, because this came out on Twitter, and I just wanted to talk about this just briefly before we head out. This is, again, what we talked about all year long, is the sports media giving the Eagles a lack of respect. And part of me, after the Dallas game, is like, good. Part of us, you know, that the media was just waiting for us to lose that game. They were hoping and praying, the sports media, the national sports media. They knew that if the Eagles won that game, they couldn't promote their beloved Cowboys as being potential contenders. They couldn't do it. If Gardner Minshew beats the Cowboys, but you see what happens when a Dallas team barely beats an Eagles team with a backup at home by 6 points, they all of a sudden become what is on the face of Sunday Night Football on NBC. And everything else. Colin Cowherd, who's a tool, has the Eagles as the sixth-ranked team in the NFL right now, and the Cowboys at like three. It's like, give me a break. But there's a silver lining, because we saw all this happen in 2017. You know, the Eagles lost to the Seahawks. They lost Carson Wentz, and no one had any faith in them anymore. The only ones that are going to have any faith in the Eagles are the Eagles and our fans. And so when this kind of crap comes out, we can laugh at it, because I think that my opinion is that they're overlooking us like they always do. This team is extremely talented, and if they can find a way to win on Sunday and get that number one seed and take 2 weeks off and get Lane healthy or healthy enough to play, C.J. Gardner-Johnson back, maybe Avante Maddox, QB1 back, then I think the rest of the league better watch the hell out, because you're going to have a pissed off team and a healthy Eagles team relatively that you're going to have to face in the playoffs. And you're not going to know what the hell hit you. You're just not.
I'm right there with you, man. I'm confident in this Birds team. And I feel like, you know, I don't really worry about, you know, I don't worry about it too much, because I know, like you said, the silver lining is in 2017. This just has the same thing, same look, look to it. And that's not the first time that Sunday Night Football hasn't given us our due this year. This isn't the first time. You know, obviously this is ran by a Cowboys, a fan account, mm-hmm. because other than that, it makes no sense. You want to know what was strange, man? I went to Chick-fil-A yesterday, and dude working the drive-thru saw my Eagles hat, and he was like, oh, man, I shouldn't even take your order, you know, messing with me, mm-hmm. stuff like that. He's like, oh, you must be a Cowboys fan or something. He's like, yeah, I am. He was like, man, I tell you what, man. Man, if you guys had Jalen Hurts, we would have lost that game. And I was like, shocked. Like, what? He was like, man, lucky, yeah, man, those turnovers really helped us. But, man, if you know, Jalen would have probably ran all over us. You know, that was just kind of his thing. Like, you know, that was so crazy to get that from that perspective. Then we go out to eat for dinner. And there's a guy from like Cherry Hill. He's an Eagles fan in there. He's like, man, I really need Jalen to get backs for my fantasy football. I'm in the championship. But it's just a very different tone from last year. People saying, you sure you can do it with Jalen? Versus like now people are like anticipating him play. So, but that's what comes with winning. It's just how it works. It was just crazy that a Cowboys fan was even like, wasn't like boasting about the win. If anything, mm-hmm. he was just like, you know, we're glad you guys didn't have Jalen. We probably would have been in trouble in that game. And I was just like, just took me back for a second, because you never hear Cowboys fans use any logic or any type of reason or you know, just, you know, just terrible to have a conversation with, because they just think too highly of themselves and too low of everyone else. So,
you know
what
that is?
That was just refreshing, I guess, to have that conversation.
Yeah, do you know what that is? That's genuine fear. They had the fear of God put into them and that game. And I think they went into that game knowing that they were playing Gardner Minshew, thinking that this was going to be a slam dunk. And then they got down 10 twice. And so they were very lucky that they had the turnovers to get that win, because it easily could have gone the Eagles' way. And then they would have looked really bad. That's the fear of God in them. But it is what it is. That game is behind us now. We're looking forward to the next game, and the next game is going to be at the Link on Sunday at 1:00 against the New Orleans Saints. So we're going to cross our fingers, cross our toes, cross everything we got, get the beer on ice and the wings ready and just hope that the Eagles can pull this one out. We think they can. This is an important one. It has to happen. So we will be tuned in and as nervous as ever. I will tell you what, we'll just have to wait and see. But I think we just need the one win. I think it's possible. So with that being said, thank you everybody for tuning in to the Where Eagles Dare podcast, whether you do it on our podcast providers as such as Spotify, Amazon Music, or Apple Podcast, and so many others. Thank you also for our live stream watchers on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook Live. If you have any questions or comments for us, you can always email us at our email address, lee.bird, that's lee.byrd.eaglesdare@gmail.com. Big challenge awaits. A lot of injuries on our team, but next man up is the mentality, and we'll see what the Eagles do on Sunday at the Link against New Orleans. And with that all being said, I'm going to turn it over to Tubby for his final words of the week.
Thanks, everybody, for stopping by the Where Eagles Dare podcast. And we should be able to win this game, man. We don't want to turn this into a must-win against a division rival, the Giants, next week. And the reason why I say it's a must-win is because we've worked too hard this whole season to boost this record, and to fall short of that goal would be disappointing. And I would hate for them to carry that disappointment over having to play in the first round of the playoffs, man. That's why we have to win this game. It's bigger than everything else. It's a confidence thing as well, too. And it's to prove, yes, everything we did this year, this is why we're the number one seed. So be dope to lock this up, man. And with that said, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds, beat the Saints. We'll see you next week, guys.